The Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show on 77 WABC. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Happy Sunday, everyone, and welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. And for those with Alexa Smart Home speakers, you can tune in as well by simply saying, Alexa, enable the 77 WABC skill. And I always want to hear from you all. Make sure to call the Friends of the Court hotline at 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. The judge's verdict and our question of the week is coming up here in moments as well. But first, I want to introduce an individual who's a very impressive individual. His name is Dr. Robert Hariri. He is a medical doctor as well as a PhD, and he is, I could go on and on, but I'll just say he's the CEO of the world's largest cellular medicine company known as Cellularity. And the doctor, I believe, is on, and he's going to give us a couple minutes of his time this morning to talk about a new study from the Cleveland Clinic that blew my mind and the mainstream media is not talking about, but you can hear about it here on my show. Dr. Hariri, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Judge.
Good morning. Okay. So I read about this study from the Cleveland Clinic, and it basically says that individuals who've had COVID do not, I repeat, do not get additional benefits from the vaccine because they're unlikely to get the infection again. And it calls into question, doctor, the necessity to vaccinate anyone who's had the infection. Talk to me.
So, you know, this was actually a really impressive study based upon the number of individuals that were followed and the duration of the study. It was over 50,000 employees, and they were defined as having had COVID infection by a pretty sensitive test, the RT-PCR test. And the really impressive thing was that in the study of that over 50,000, about 2,500 were previously infected, and 54% of the group remained unvaccinated. And none of those, not a single one of those patients, became reinfected, even though they didn't receive a vaccine. Now, what that suggests is that for the vast majority of people who get exposed and infected with COVID-19, as we know, the vast majority do not develop really significant serious disease. They have, in some cases, mild disease or, in fact, no symptoms. You know, I got COVID. I was COVID positive. I had no symptoms whatsoever from the COVID. So I'm one of those lucky ones whose immune system had a high enough integrity to protect me against the symptoms. But in the Cleveland Clinic study, what's really, really impressive is that it really does show that in the vast majority of people who aren't in high-risk groups, because remember, one of the limitations of the Cleveland Clinic study was they didn't test elderly people, children, or people with, you know, really significant immune deficiency. But what it says is in the vast majority of people, previous exposure and infection gives you enough natural protection that vaccination could be held back so that you can prioritize who gets vaccinated. You know, Cleveland Clinic is not advocating that people don't get vaccinated, but they do say that if you've had the disease, you are likely to be protected at least for a period of time.
Okay. All right. So, Dr. Robert Hariri, the next question that I would ask is, for those individuals that have the serious comorbidity issues, are you saying that even if they had it, they should get the vaccine, or does the clinic, the study say that?
The study doesn't say that, but here's the bottom line, and I've been saying this for a long time. The greatest protection against an infectious pathogen is developing your own natural immunity to it. And, you know, remember we talk about this term herd immunity, right?
Yes, yes.
Herd immunity is the best way that a population protects itself from a pathogen that's highly infectious like COVID-19. The truth is that herd immunity is accomplished when you have what's called, you break through what's called the herd immunity threshold. That means that the proportion of the population that's immune to the disease is greater than the threshold, then you basically eliminate the pathogen. It ceases to exist because it no longer has a host. And so one of the ways to do that is to allow those at the lowest risk to develop the disease naturally. And then they develop multivalent immunity to the pathogen, meaning that they are actually protected against a whole range of molecular markers on the vaccine, whereas vaccines go after kind of a selected part of the pathogen. So what's really exciting is this does suggest, okay, and this is what it suggests, that the low-risk population may, in fact, especially those who've been infected before, may, in fact, be held back from mandatory vaccination until you cover everybody that's at risk. And, you know, and that provides a logistic benefit to the healthcare system, which is trying to, you know, amass this huge number of patients vaccinated. I might also mention, according to the statistics today, 46%, over 46% of the U.S. population has already been vaccinated.
Yeah.
That's a very, very high number. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and on an average influenza year, only about 45 to 50% of the population gets vaccinated. And usually that's they're focusing on what we what is a low risk population in COVID, which is the younger population.
Yeah.
So
Go ahead.
No. So I think, you know, we're kind of past the hump here. And and, you know, and by the way, you know, I got vaccinated after I had the illness and developed my own immunity. And I knew I had my own immunity because I measured in my laboratories, I measured my antibody production. And I got the Pfizer vaccine. And the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine was uneventful. But I will tell you that the second dose of the vaccine, I did develop some pretty, you know, uncomfortable symptoms.
And well, so let me ask you this, Dr. Hariri. If, first of all, let's just put this part away. Natural immunity is important and it's been downplayed throughout the pandemic. But now you are someone who actually took both the first as well as the second shot. And everyone talks about the, you know, reaction they've had to the second shot. Is there a benefit if you've already had COVID and you've had one shot? Do you necessarily need to have the second shot?
What a great question, Judge. The truth of the matter is, I think people who have the illness who get a booster from the first vaccine shot probably don't need to get the second vaccination, which means there'd be more vaccine available for others. And it also means that you might allow these people who were infected naturally and got vaccinations to develop a very broad degree of immunity, meaning lots of different antibodies against lots of different parts of the virus, which actually makes them a better part of the herd immunity.
Okay. And the politicization of the hydroxychloroquine, there was definitely a study on hydroxy as well. What did we find out on that?
You know, this is such a hot potato topic, right? I mean, I've known folks, colleagues of mine who vehemently are against any suggestion that any agent was useful in treating this disease. Here's the bottom line. There's so much anecdotal evidence and even now some real evidence and some decent studies that these agents like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were effective in some people in controlling symptoms. That, you know, I don't think it's smart for the community of experts to be so dismissive when they, you know, they may not have proven that these agents were in fact the ideal drug to use, but they didn't prove that they were bad. And what I think was potentially a problem is we didn't give it its fair shot. We didn't give lots of things its fair shot because of the concentration on other approaches. That being said, I think we're way over the hump here, and I think it's nice to see the country getting back to normal.
Well, it certainly is. And Dr. Hariri, we very much appreciate your time on this. You know, it was a pathogen, as you call it, that was so foreign to all of us, literally foreign, that, you know, for the longest time, we were too fearful and, you know, afraid to try different things. And, you know, the politicization of the hydroxychloroquine, and now we're finding out about patents and, you know, people people who own patents on certain pathogens that can be used to harm Americans, whether it is to harm humans, whether it's something that was gain of function and or is natural, is it's a whole world that Americans didn't know much about, but we're learning a lot about. But I want to thank you for your time this morning, Dr. Robert Hariri, CEO of Cellularity, the world's largest cellular medicine company. Thank you, doctor.
Thanks. Nice speaking to you.